The second lesson today is Psalm 131. It can be found in your pew Bibles on page 574 in the Old Testament. It's called a song of quiet trust or a song of ascents, and it is a psalm of David. O Lord, my heart is not lifted up. My eyes are not raised too high. I do not occupy myself with things too great and too marvelous for me, but I have calmed and quieted my soul like a weaned child with its mother. My soul is like the weaned child that is with me. O Israel, hope in the Lord from this time on and forevermore.
When you entered the sanctuary this morning, you might have noticed some very seemingly random images surrounding you on the walls. If not, check your observation skills. Many of you know that I am an educator, and so I want to apologize in advance that today is just half me and then the other half is you. You'll be getting up in a little while and moving around the sanctuary. It's good for us, right? As Brian mentioned in his call to worship, in this series on making peace, I certainly do not have the words to make sense of the atrocities our world has faced in the last weeks and days. So many acts of violence, seemingly born of fear and anger, have caused much suffering and grief, and in turn, more fear and anger. The work of peacemaking is both necessary and it's daunting. Surely many of us feel compelled to speak and act on behalf of peace, love, and unity, though at this time our own hearts may also be filled with fear or anger, brokenness, or bitterness. For many of us, including me, our identity as peacemakers has us looking for opportunities to reconcile the world around us, perhaps at times neglecting our own realities, looking outward without looking within ourselves might, in today's media-saturated world, lead us away from the peace that passes understanding. The story we had for our New Testament reading this morning of Mary, Martha, and Jesus is a reminder of what is central to our faith, although maybe a little ambiguous in this passage. Jesus said, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things." Anybody feeling worried and distracted? "There is need of only one thing," said Jesus. "Mary has chosen the better part." Mary sat at the Lord's feet, listening. Which part of this situation is the one thing that we have need of, that Jesus mentions? Is it sitting? Is it rest? Is it listening? Is it the Lord Himself? Perhaps it's our relationship with the Lord. Are we, as believers, worried and distracted? Or are we sitting at the Lord's feet? Amidst the complex world of politics, war, socioeconomics, are we nurturing our own souls? Are we nurturing the spiritual health of one another, the people right in front of us? Psalm 131 is the second scripture that Brian shared with us this morning. And I think I've shared this one before. It's kind of one of my favorites. I think it's something that is somewhat of a mantra for me. In Psalm 131, the psalmist speaks of a soul that is stilled and quieted. And the psalmist says that his soul is like a weaned child with its mother. A weaned child is, you know, a young child. And at this point in my life, I know a couple of things about small children, or I'm learning them along the way. And one of the things I know is that a young child is not still or quiet, at least not mine. I don't know, maybe there's something wrong there, but Jane is not usually still and quiet, and I would consider Wesley to be far from that. They are the joy of my life, but they are always moving. So I did some research on this idea of having a still and quiet soul like a weaned child with her mother by asking Jane. Jane, how do you feel when you are with your mother? What does it feel like to be a young child with her mother? And she said, good. I said, okay, a little more. What else? She said, happy and safe. And I think that explains a little bit this metaphor of a soul like a young child with its mother. Simple trust of a child in her mother is the kind of simple trust that we can have in the one who is greater than we. Verse 1 of that same psalm tells us that the psalmist does not occupy himself with things that are too great and too marvelous for me. I mean, I think in general I could summarize that as an attitude of humility, recognizing the greatness of God and the vastness of creation in comparison to us as individuals. And it's a call to recognize our limits. I'm not saying it's a call to inaction. Don't mistake me. I am a problem solver by nature. But I think it is a call or a suggestion that peace can be found, quiet in our soul can be found when we know our limits and we know what is in our control and what is out of our control. This verse reminds me of the Serenity Prayer by Reinhold Niebuhr. Do you know the Serenity Prayer? Yeah. Reinhold Niebuhr was an influential theologian and political activist of the 20th century, and he was a pacifist and a socialist until right around the time of World War II. He encouraged the United States to act. And here's what he wrote. So I think this is interesting coming from somebody who is obviously involved in very grand things when he is, you know, he's a theologian and a political activist. So he writes the Serenity Prayer, which I think is used quite a bit in Alcoholics Anonymous, but might be even posted on your wall at home. I'm going to read it. Maybe we want to pray it. Would that be good? Pray it. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Living one day at a time, enjoying one moment at a time, accepting hardships as the pathway to peace, taking, as he did, this sinful world as it is, not as I would have it, trusting that he will make all things right if I surrender to his will, that I may be reasonably happy in this life, and supremely happy with him forever and the next. Amen. Niebuhr and the psalmist write of finding peace by recognizing limitations, of trying to decipher what's in our control and what's out of our control. Now, lest we think that the psalmist, perhaps King David, enjoyed a soul that was at peace and quiet all of the time, I'd like to share with you other descriptors of the soul that are used in Psalms. A soul that is struck with terror. a soul that rejoices, a soul that is waiting, thirsty, cast down, longing, disquieted, awake, satisfied, humbled, embittered, full of troubles, fainted, consumed with longing, languishing, melting away for sorrow. There are many states of our inner realities that we can experience as humans and as Christians. How about you? How are you doing? What's your current inner reality? Is that something that you talk about with people? Do you sit down and really talk about how you're doing? I'm a talker and I'm a people person, so I enjoy that. And I hope you enjoy it enough to do it just a little bit today, to the degree that you feel comfortable. And I know when I am asking about your current inner reality, you know, that's maybe a little bit much for some. But I want to invite us today to think about that by kind of devising some concrete images, looking at some concrete images. So back to Psalm 131, where David says that my soul is like a weaned child, right? Sometimes those like ambiguous emotions or states of being are hard to articulate without something to ground them in. So around the sanctuary, I have quite the gallery of images that maybe you could kind of ground that conversation in. What I'm going to ask you to do is to do a little gallery walk, a little walk. There's a monkey over there showing his fangs. Over here, there's presumably a couple who's not looking at one another, but at social media, maybe, or their computer screens. We have somebody who's standing on the precipice of some kind of grand mountain range. There's a real sleepy woman. It was a NyQuil ad in the back. There are all sorts of images around, and what I want to invite you to do is go to one that in some way connects with you. Connects with your inner reality, okay? And when you get there, I hope there's more than one person at your image. If not, we'll be flexible as we kind of share out a little bit. But I'm going to ask you to, as you get there, when you get there to your image, I want you to think about sort of this sentence frame. Sorry, you remember that I was an English teacher, right? Okay. My inner reality is like blank. Angry monkey. My inner reality is like an angry monkey because what? Okay? And after the because, it can be as simple or as complex or elaborate or whatever as you want. Okay? And so just kind of reflect on that, and then I'll give you further instructions. So you don't have to start talking when you get to an image. You just kind of think quietly as you look at the image you've chosen. Game on. Okay, let's go. Find one that you can connect with. Find one you can connect with in some way. When you find one, can you stay there? Don't be too choosy either. It might not be the perfect image. When you find one that speaks to you, stay there at that image.
Someone chose to break it, so you can either way. You can choose to keep it whole or...
Okay, most of the movement is stopped. So what I'd ask you to do is to find just a buddy in your proximity. It can be a person who's at the same image so that you can both speak to the same image, or it can be somebody who's just in general proximity. And when you kind of have that concept of why you chose that image, how does that reflect kind of what's going on with your soul? Just complete that sentence stem. My inner reality is like blank, like this monkey, because blank. And if, as a listener, as you're listening to someone else, if you feel like you don't understand, you could ask just, what makes you say that? What makes you say that? You know, like if someone says, my inner reality is like the monkey because it is. Because. Right? Then you just say, whoa, what makes you say that? Hopefully they won't say because again. Okay, we're going to take just about 2 or 3 minutes. So this isn't like, you know, really long verbal journaling or something, but just a touching base. Please go for it. Connect. As you wind your conversation down, you can just show me that you're ready by heading back to seats. I took the privilege of just watching everybody. And one of the things I noticed is that almost all of the images connected with someone. Were there any sleepy heads? Did anybody go with the sleepy head? Nobody. Nobody's soul is sleepy. The first thing I want to say about this is that wherever you are, there's no right or wrong. There's no, you're this, but you should be this. It's where you are. And, you know, I know I'm, compared to many of you, my life experience is very limited. But I guess one of the things that I'm continuously learning is that, and hopefully you all can say amen to this, life is a journey. And it, you know, those moments are, as Reinhold Niebuhr says, sometimes the pathways to peace, both when they are at peace and when they're not. Now I'd like you to invite you to, you don't have to close your eyes, because I kind of hate when people tell me to close my eyes. You know, just think quietly and try to imagine a new image. One that encapsulates what you desire for your soul. Do you need a little more than that? This last week, 2 weeks ago maybe, I was in the Adirondacks, and I took a few minutes to go out on a kayak by myself and was in the midst of like all of these lily pads and blooming gorgeous lilies in the water with the Adirondack Mountains in the background and just total solitude, and it was lovely. And I think, you know, that image I think is going to stick with me for a really long time about the idea of that being possible. So anyway, imagine a new image, one that encapsulates what you desire for your soul. If you could just quietly reflect and think, eyes open or closed, whichever. Does anyone have one that they would be willing to share? We don't have to, but if you have something in your mind's eye, they'd be willing to share. Okay. My hope is that these reflective images, both the one by which you stood today and also the one in your mind's eye, that they encourage us to sit at the Lord's feet and the feet of others, as we cultivate peace within and around us. Amen.